This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. My dearest brothers, sisters, and in particular youngsters, one of the main goals of the mission of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was to purify people, to purify their hearts, and to make them into people of purity such that they will be worthy of the mercy of Allah and His acceptance. Allah the Almighty says, هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. He is the one who sent to an unlettered people a messenger from amongst them who would recite to them the verses and who would purify them and who would teach them the book and give them the wisdom, and before that they were clearly misguided. Purifying them means purify their hearts and their minds of corrupt ideologies, of things that taint the soul, things that make a person impure and indecent. And that is why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he celebrated shyness, he celebrated decency. He said, "Al-Imanu bid'un wa sab'un." He said that faith comprises of more than 70 branches. Wal haya'u shu'batun min al-iman. And shyness is a branch of iman. It's a branch of being a believing person. And what is shyness? Shyness is to have a sense of inhibition, to have a sense of control over your emotions and temptations, and not to do things just because you feel like doing them. In another authentic hadith, he said, Al-haya khayrun kulluhu. That shyness through and through is something good. It is something that we should all aspire to have. I'm calling this khutbah Muslim pride for obvious reasons. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he then spoke about the opposite. People who have no shyness, people who have no shame. And he said, one of the great wise sayings of those before me is what? إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحْيِ فَاصْنَعْ مَا شِئْتْ. If you don't have any shyness, if you don't feel any shame, do whatever you want. Meaning that if you stop the feeling of shame and embarrassment, and you say, I'm going to do whatever I feel like doing, I don't care what anyone thinks or what anyone says, you will end up doing anything. You will end up doing the things that disrespect your own soul and the body that Allah gave you. And what is amazing is that Islam, it teaches us not that we should be celibate and we should remain chaste and not indulge in our desires. No, Islam teaches us we should enjoy our desires and we should fulfill them in the halal way. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "An-nikahu min sunnati, faman lam ya'mal bi sunnati falaysa minni." Marriage is from my tradition, and whoever turns away from it is not from me. Meaning that it is so important that a human being fulfills the desires that Allah has placed within them, but in the halal way. He would also say, Ya ma'ashar al-shabab, man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj. Youngsters, whoever is able to get married without great difficulty, go ahead and get married. Because this is ahsan lil faraj. This is the best way to protect your chastity. Now when people go away from these teachings of trying to be a decent, pure person, a person of shyness, a person of haya, then all types of illnesses and sicknesses and desires become rampant, which not only corrupts the person, but it also brings out the worst in society as well. And we know this from history, because Allah the Almighty in His wisdom shared with us an account of a people who are known as a perished nation, a people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished in possibly the worst way historically speaking. This is the people of the Prophet Lut alayhi salam. This takes us back in history all the way to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Thousands of years where this man, he came as a prophet of Allah and he spoke to his people. And I will recite to you the verses from the book of Allah. Please pay attention, because they are not meant to be a historical story. Allah says, وَلُوطًا إِذْ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ أَتَأْتُونَ الْفَاحِشَةَ مَا سَبَقَكُمْ بِهَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. And remember when Lut alayhi salam scolded the men of his people, saying, do you commit a shameful deed that no man has ever done before? The word used, fahisha, means something shameful, something obscene, something indecent. We know that those people, they used to be guilty of criminal activities such as armed robbery. But what was Lut referring to? Was it those crimes, or was it something else? Allah will explain to us. Lut says to them, إِنَّكُمْ لَتَأْتُونَ الرِّجَالَ شَهْوَةً مِّن دُونِ النِّسَاءِ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ مُسْرِفُونَ. You lust after men instead of women. You are certainly transgressors. He highlighted one particular sin of the act of homosexuality, of sodomy. And he said, this is what you do? This is the thing that no one has heard of someone doing before this time. And he said, أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ مُسْرِفُونَ. You are people who are being extravagant. When we think of the word israf, we think of money, people spending recklessly. But the root meaning of israf is actually to go beyond the limit. It is to go beyond the boundaries. And so Lut is saying, you are exploring your sexuality, quote unquote, in a manner that is going beyond the limits that a human being should go. بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ مُسْرِفُونَ. He tried his best to advise his people, spending much time with them, in their company, in their presence, educating them, advising them, warning them. Even the Quran says that he said, if you really want to do something to fulfill your desires, why don't you consider my own daughters? Allah the Almighty tells us, قَالَ هَؤُلَاءِ بَنَاتِ إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ. These are my daughters. If you really want to do something, meaning in the proper way, why don't you have my daughters? Now many scholars say Lut alayhi salam was not offering his daughters to these people in marriage, but rather he was making a point. And the point is, you have a choice. You have a choice to do something in the right way, and you have a choice to do it in the wrong way. No one should turn around and say, I am forced to be this way. I am forced to do the things that Allah has prohibited. Think about that. Allah will not create us, bless us with a body and a life and a world, and then tell us, don't do this thing which you are incapable of doing, which you are incapable of staying away from, which is part of your nature to do. Of course not. But Allah would test you. Allah may place that temptation in your heart, but ultimately this world is full of tests. And so Lut said, you have a choice to be like this or to do the right thing. What did his people do? They mocked him. They made fun of him. They said, إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ. Look at these people, speaking about Lut and the believers. They said, these are a people, يَتَطَهَّرُونَ, that want to be pure. They were not praising them. They were in fact mocking them, saying that these people, look at them, they want to be straight, as we would say today. These people, They want to be chaste. What a silly thing. What a backward thing. Now, subhanAllah, look at the wording that they are using. Look at the way the Quran is telling us word for word what they said. Why? Because Allah is demonstrating to us how far down the road of misguidance they have gone. You see, in the beginning, my brothers and sisters, please pay attention to this. Somebody does something wrong. They recognize it as wrong. They feel embarrassment. They feel shyness. They feel as though, you know what, I shouldn't. And even if I did it, I would not tell anyone about it. And I would wish that no one would find out about my indiscretions. This is the beginning. If a person doesn't regret, does not turn back to Allah, they will then go to the next stage. Where the person will say, it's not that big a deal. Everyone does it. Why should I feel bad for what I feel? Why should I feel bad about what I do? This is now going further down the road of misguidance. And then the next stage is when the person would say, it is not wrong at all. There's nothing wrong with this. It's completely fine. I shouldn't feel as though I'm doing something wrong. At this point, they have made the haram become halal. See, before this, when they had the temptations, even if they were doing it in secret or in private, they were at worst a sinner. And we are all sinners, subhanAllah. But when you get to the stage of saying, it is not wrong, it is in fact right, now you have left the realm of a sinner and you have entered the realm of what? Somebody whose Islam now is in jeopardy. Somebody whose faith has become compromised. And then the final stage is when a person doesn't just say, this is not wrong, it is okay. Is they look at people on the other side who disagree with them and say, you guys are wrong. You people who are telling us that our lifestyle is wrong and impure and unnatural, you are the people that are wrong. And look at what the people of Lut said. Innahum unasun yatatahharun. You people, O Prophet Lut, and your believing followers, you are wrong. And this is the worst state, because now Shaitan has got you exactly where he wants. You are proud of doing what is prohibited. You are proud of celebrating the things that Islam has told us is impure and wrong, and that which Allah does not love. We ask Allah's protection from that. We ask Allah's forgiveness from that. And that is why Allah says, يَا أَيُّوَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Believers, don't follow the footsteps of shaitan. The shaitan leads you slowly down that road, every step worse than the previous one, until you end up in a place you can't see right from wrong. So my dear brothers, what happened to these people who mocked Lut alayhi salam and who thought what they did was right when in fact it was wrong? Allah told us, فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الصَّيْحَةُ مُشْرِقِينَ. So the mighty blast overtook them at sunrise. فَجَعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ حِجَارَةً مِّن سِجِّيلٍ. And we turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah upside down and rained upon them stones of baked clay. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. May Allah protect us from that. What does it mean that we turned the highest place into the lowest place? The scholars, they say, they had built for them fancy homes, tall structures, and Allah sent either a quake or some form of punishment that made the ceilings begin to collapse upon their heads. And as they saw buildings collapsing upon them, they ran outside to get safety. But at that time, أَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ حِجَارَةً مِّن سِجِّيلٍ. Allah rained upon them these baked clay stones, essentially gunfire from the skies, coming down to destroy these people. And subhanAllah, Allah the Almighty, after telling us the fate of these people, says, إِنَّ فِي ذَٰلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِلْمُتَوَسِّمِينَ. Surely in this are signs for those who contemplate. And the word used for contemplate, المتوسمين. Very interesting word. It comes from the root word wasm, which means to mark something or to have a symbol for something. Allah is saying that people who read about this story, they should be seeing the hallmarks that can become present, not just in history, but in their times and in the future. They can see the clues in history. I can see them manifest in their daily lives. And as such, they take a lesson. They take warning. They take heed. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the mutawassimeen, people who take lessons from history. And as such, my brothers and sisters, it is no secret that in Islam, as well as many other major religions up until today anyway, that the act of homosexuality is prohibited. In fact, it is prohibited in every single sect of Islam, despite the fact that there are so many differences of opinion in so many masail. On this one issue, the scholars have unanimously agreed that this act is something prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for understanding. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us realize and prioritize that which is correct and understand it according to the Quran and Sunnah. Wa aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa lisa'il muslimin fastaghfiruhu innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya al-mursaleen, nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, amma ba'd. Dearest brothers and sisters, there are so many things to mention, but because of time, I will conclude with one point. And that is, when we look internally, inwardly to ourselves and our communities, we must recognize Allah has placed us here on a mission. With a role. Allah the Almighty says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِدَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You are the best community taken from humanity. What makes us the best? What is our role? تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَلِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. Allah then says, it is because the fact that you champion what is right and you forbid what is wrong, and you believe in Allah, that makes us the best. And this is very profound, because when you live in this time where there's so much propaganda, wherever you go, we see messaging to do with sexuality and sexual orientation, even in our schools for our children. You start to think to yourself, I am being influenced whether I like it or not. My children are being influenced whether I like it or not. And you feel as though you may be coming drowned in all of this propaganda. But this is the answer. Because either in this world you live as an influencer, somebody championing the teachings of Islam, or you live as an influenced person, someone being influenced. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ. Whoever sees something wrong should try to change it with their hands. And if he can't, then with his tongue. And if he cannot, then at least to dislike that in their heart. Why? Because if you're not actively trying to go against these things, then you are being taken away by the tide. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection from that. We ask Allah's tawfiq to be of those who can stand strong. And what is beautiful, my brothers and sisters, is that people of other faiths and of no faith. They are looking at Islam and the Muslims quietly with respect and admiration. Do you know why? Because they see that Islam and the Muslims are the last religion that refuse to bend to the will of society. They are the final bastions of sticking to their principles and their beliefs, no matter what people say, no matter what people do. And as such, many of them are embracing Islam. They are embracing Islam because Muslims say, no, we refuse to accept the status quo. What we believe in comes from the heavens. And we will not change it no matter what. We will be proud of what we believe. And this is the way we should live. People who are proud of the guidance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "Ya Rasulullah, give me a piece of advice." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Qul amantu billah thumma istaqim." Say, you believe in Allah, and then be steadfast. This is what we need to be. People who are steadfast, people who hold on to the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no matter what. And yes, that happens with wisdom. And somebody may listen to this khutbah and say, this is a person preaching hate. This is a person who is extreme. I remind them, subhanallah, that what we are preaching here comes from the Quran and the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A man who lived for 13 years amongst people who tried to undermine him, who had beliefs completely opposite to him, who tried to destroy him, and yet did he resort to violence? Did he discriminate against them? Did he insult them and disrespect them? No. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life is clear for everyone to read. In Makkah, he lived amongst those people trying to educate them, preaching to them, advising them. And he never called for violence against them. He never called for discrimination against them. Even those who disrespected him, he did not disrespect them back. But what he did do was stand up for his beliefs. And that is what we call for. And that is what we are preaching. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us strong on this. I end with the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, يأتي على الناس زمان. A time will come. الصابر فيهم على دينه. The person who is going to be steadfast in their religion. كالقابض على الجمر. Will be like a person trying to hold on to hot burning coal. That is what it feels like today. Just trying to be a normal Muslim. Just trying to live by the basic normative teachings of Islam has become so difficult. But we remember this saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because in holding on to that coal comes great reward. In holding on to that coal comes victory. In holding on to that coal comes legacy. Because after we die, our children will be here. What are we leaving them with? Are we leaving them with a reinterpreted version of Islam? Are we leaving them with half of the truth? What will then they leave their kids? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us victory. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us steadfast. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the sabireen. Allahumma ameen. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahmah. Innaka antal wahhab. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأقم الصلاة